Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. Lord, we're going to start this week off by being in your house, being with your people, studying your word, singing your praises. So, Lord, we pray that you would bless us today and use us this week to spread the message of Jesus. Lord, thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you for your presence in our life. Thank you for watching over us, for protecting us, for providing for us. Lord, sometimes we struggle. We go through life and, you know, it's up and down. And Lord, I pray that you would just hold us close, that we sense your presence. Lord, we come from various places and in our life. But Lord, when we know that you're with us, when we know that, and we know that with our head, but Lord, when we know it in our hearts, we just know it, we can go through anything. Lord, I pray that we would just sense your presence and be our strength in those days of uncertainty. Lord, I pray you'd be with me. Help me to share your message today. Have freedom to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you. Be seated. I'm Gary Johnson. It's good to be back. I've been here many times, but, you know, I'm retired now. So I think it was Chris. Somebody asked me, what's your title? Man, I don't have a title. I'm retired. So, which is kind of interesting. You know, I don't have a card to give. I usually give a card or something. I don't have anything. But I'm going to be in the book of Daniel. If you hope you have your Bibles and you'll turn to the book of Daniel. I'm going to take a little bit of water and be ready. Yes, I retired about a year ago, and you know, I'm the old guy. I'm 68 years old, and you kind of look at things looking back. You know, when you're young, you're looking at things you want to accomplish and do, and now you're looking back at things you've done in life. And so the title of my message is A Well-Balanced Life. A Well-Balanced Life. What I've seen with Christians, you lean one way. The sovereignty of God. We believe in the sovereignty of God, that God's in control. And so we can become lethargic. We become, he's in control. I can't do anything. They don't try to do anything because they believe in his sovereignty so much that they don't try to do anything. On the other side, there's people that want to work hard, try hard, study hard, and they feel like the weight of the world is on their shoulders if they don't do things right. And so I want to kind of share today a balanced life. And I picked that up with the book of Daniel. The Lord laid on my heart a couple months ago to study the book of Daniel. Now, you know, when I retired, and I figured there'd be a lot of young people here. When you're 68, everybody's young. But, when I retired, I gave away everything. I gave away all my books. You know, I had a library. I gave all my books. I have nothing. So when the Lord laid on my heart to study the book of Daniel, I had to go buy three books that I used to have in my library. I'm starting to study the book of Daniel, and that's where I saw the balance between the sovereignty of God. He is in control, and yet the balance of really working hard and doing hard. And that's where I really get this idea of a well-balanced life out of the book of Daniel. I'd like to read verses 1 through 8, Daniel chapter 1. Verses 1 through 8, and then I'll be sharing about that. I didn't know what you guys have been studying. This may be old. Have you been studying Daniel? Anybody? Is this something new? I don't know what Bob has been preaching, but anyway, Daniel 1, beginning with verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into his land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Verse 3. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men, in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and of the three years of training for them, so that they, at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those are the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And Azariah, Abednego. Verse 8, and that's the verse I'm going to work on today. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. A well-balanced life. Now, I know that sometimes, especially young people, you go to church and church can be boring, and I'm going to really bore you because I'm going to talk about world history. That's not anything you wanted to hear today, but to understand the book of Daniel, you really kind of got to get a bigger picture. This week, Israel is going to celebrate 75 years as a nation. Did you guys know that? Have you watched the news? 75 years. That's pretty amazing when you think about it, because Israel's been around for thousands of years. The Israelite people, we call Hebrew, Jews, they have different names. They've been around for at least 3, 4, maybe 5,000 years. We go back in the book of Genesis and we follow the story of Abraham, and they've been around for a long time, but they're going to have their 75th anniversary as a nation. Well, actually, a long time ago, about 1,000 years before Christ, they had three kings. You remember King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. They all ruled about 40 years each, so that was 120 years. That was the nation of Israel for 120 years. But because of sin and because of the inner problems of the family, when Solomon died, he had two sons that battled, and the kingdom split. There became a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom they called Israel. The southern kingdom they called Judah, and that would be around Jerusalem. Have I lost you? Are you still with me? Okay, so you would remember the prophets would talk about following God. And when they served God, things went well, but they became so complacent that they got away from God, they dripped from God, and then sin would rule. And then they would come back and repent, and they kind of oscillated for many years, but they kept going down and down. It was prophesied in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah that they would be captive. They would be held captive for 70 years. In fact, I noticed on your goal here, Jeremiah 29:11, that's during that captivity that it was prophesied. So they were going to be captive for 70 years. Daniel, the book of Daniel, was written, and Daniel, as we read where he came from, he lived during that 70 years. So he started out as a young man, a young boy that would have been trained, and he would have lived those 70 years from the first king, Nebuchadnezzar, to the last one, Cyrus. He lived those 70 years. He got to see many things happen in the book of Daniel. Many things like the fiery furnace where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tossed into. The lion's den. Daniel in the lion's den. But God provided for them. He protected them. The sovereignty of God. He protected them. So it's a fascinating history as we think of ancient world history. And I know you're not really interested in that, but it's interesting as you read the Bible. It is history. It is his story, God's story, how he took care of the Israelite people. Now, you come to World War II, Hitler tried to wipe out the Jews. He wanted to destroy and kill every Jew on earth. And at the end of World War II, which is fascinating, and I don't know why God allowed that to take place, but it's fascinating, at the end of World War II, the United Nations gave the land of Israel to form a country called Israel. They kind of tore it out of, and in a way, they stole it from the Palestinians. That's why there's so much fighting over there. He took the Palestinians and made the country of Israel. If you go there today, you can see the Palestinians and the Jews are not happy with each other. They don't mind the Christians because they're their arguments, not with Christians, but they are arguing with each other. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, so here we see Israel is going to celebrate 75 years as a nation. Now, you and I are living in some really weird times in history, but we are living it. We're experiencing it right now. Now, in world history, nations come and go. Dominant nations who really have control of many things in the world, they usually last about 200 years, and then they go. When Daniel would live 70 years, and he would prophesy to Nebuchadnezzar, your kingdom's going to fall apart. And as you get into the later chapters, the Medes and the Persians are going to take over. Then the Greek dominant country would take over. Then Rome. Daniel prophesied these things to take place. But in the first chapter, we see where Daniel is just getting started as a young man. He's just getting started. You and I live in a time where the United States has been around about 225 years. We've had a dominant presence in the world, but I think you and I are beginning to experience the decay of our dominance. Now, you may or may not agree. I'm not even sure I agree with that. But what we see today is just a lot of strange things happening and affecting our nation where we live. And it kind of fits in to the world history. So you got through the world history part. So who's Daniel? As we read in Daniel, we go through here, that they took some of the descendants of some very noble people, some very fine kings, children of Israel, who would learn a new language. They would learn new culture. They would learn things from the best teachers of the day. They would be living in the king's palace. They would get the best food. They would get all the best. That's who Daniel was at age, I don't know, 10, 12, 15, whatever they thought was a young man at that time. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were together. But we come to verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now that's a big job. I mean, you're getting the best food. I mean, you're probably getting some of the best meat in the world, the best food, the best wine. You're getting the best of everything. It's, you know, us Jews, we have a different eating agenda. We don't eat what everybody else eats. Would you allow us just to eat what we normally eat, drink what we normally drink? Would you allow us, because God has purpose in my heart, that I would not defile the Lord. I want to be pure. I'm going to live in this strange country. I'm going to live and learn strange things. I'm going to learn a new culture, a new language. But can I keep my diet right? Well, the head of the eunuch, you can't do that. I mean, the king is giving you this. What a great opportunity that you're getting the best of the best. There's people that would die for the opportunity that you're getting. But Daniel purposed in his heart. You see, you and I, we live in a strange time in a strange society. But have you purposed in your heart what you're going to do, where you're going to go? It makes a big difference. Now, I'm the old man looking back, and I can tell you, when you purpose in your heart what you're going to do, makes a big difference in where you're going to go in life. Starting early to purpose in your heart, purpose in your mind, purpose in your life. I'm going to do this. God has led me to do this and see where he takes you. It's a big difference. And I've shared my story, my testimony about not growing up in church. I kind of just floundered around, didn't know what to do. I joined the Navy. I was 18 years old. I wanted to get away from home. I was tired of my mom and dad telling me what to do. So I joined the Navy like I was going to get away from something. I don't know what I was going to get away from, but that didn't work. But what happened is I was invited to church. And I went to church, and long story short, I accepted Christ. And, my life changed. And somewhere during that time in my early 20s as an early Christian, God just really laid on my heart to be serious about my walk with the Lord. Now, I know a lot of Christians who claim they're Christians. They go to church a lot, but they don't really purpose in their heart to be a serious Christian. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, they know things in the Bible, and they go to a Sunday school or worship, but they haven't really made a serious determination that I'm going to follow the Lord. Well, I got out of the Navy in 1980, and had an experience where I just really dedicated myself to serving Him, and I felt God was calling me to be a pastor, and I've been a pastor for over 42 years, full time. Can't believe I retired as a pastor. Man, I didn't know what a pastor was. 42 years. And my wife will remember more than I do just how broke we were. There's a lot of times we were just broke. When you go to open the cupboard and all you have is peanut butter for dinner or something, we didn't even have beans and rice. We just had rice. But we've survived. We made it. God provided for us and took care of us. And, I give Him praise because I wasn't smart enough to figure this out, but I was determined enough, which was kind of crazy because there was many times that I could have gave up, should have gave up, didn't, and 42 years later I was able to retire. And now we're joking about we're traveling. We like to travel. We like to go on cruises, and God is good. He's been good, but I'm telling you right now, as you're young, purpose in your heart, purpose in your life. Verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. You see, in our society, in the United States, the American society, we just, you can do anything. You can believe in God. Just one of the things I noticed, how many Christians are backing down from believing the Bible says that God created us. The Bible is full of scientific things, but God created us. And a lot of Christians are backing in and say, we evolved. He started it. He like a snowball. He started to roll it, and this is how it happened. No, according to the Bible, God created us. There are thousands of scientists that believe that God created us. Yet a scientist cannot publicly really declare about God's creation or they'll lose their job, male or female, Democrat, Republican, North or South or, But do you believe that God created us? Then believe it. I mean, in your heart, purpose in your heart, God created us. And the Bible says He created us in 6 days and the seventh day He rested. I don't have a problem with that. But man, we have a lot of Christians who have jobs that, and so they agree with the world and they try to drag their Bible convictions into worldly standards, and it doesn't really work that way. But purpose in your heart. I mean, be a man, be a woman who purposes in their heart, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to believe God. No matter where I go, no matter what jobs I get or don't get, I'm going to trust God. See where He leads you. Be interesting. There's too many people that crumble for the easy way because we can fit into society. And it's easy to fit in society. Daniel didn't do that. He approached his leader and said, I want a different diet. And the head of the eunuch said, well, wait a minute. I can't just take away this food from you. You'll look terrible. Why everybody's going to grow and be strong, and you won't. And as you read through the rest of the chapter, Daniel says, give us 10 days. Allow us to eat our food for 10 days, not eat your food, and see which is better in 10 days. Now, 10 days isn't very long. I can gain a lot of weight in 10 days. I've tried to lose some weight, but I just gain weight. I don't lose any weight. But in 10 days, the scripture says here, they look better than the rest of the group that was eating the king's food. The Jewish guys, the Israeli guys, they look better. In fact, the word is fatter. They look fatter. They look better. They were better. And so the head of the eunuch said, okay, we're going to keep this up, but I want to keep an eye on you and watch you. For 3 years, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they ate their food. They would not defile themselves. And at the end, by the end of this chapter, you can see they were wiser. They were smarter. They looked better than all the king's wise people. They took that training. They did very well. They were blessed. They were awarded great jobs in the kingdom. In 3 years, they had excelled all the rest by determining, by purposing in their heart, not to defile themselves, but to trust the Lord. And then you know the other stories about the lion's den and the fiery furnace and how God protected them because they had determined in their heart not to defile the Lord. You know, when Jesus was born, you remember the story? There were three wise men that came from the east. Nobody could figure out who were those wise men. Well, if we go back to Daniel, Daniel was there 70 years in Babylon. His life penetrated that culture. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, these men plus others, I'm sure, but they penetrated this culture to talk about a Messiah that would come, the King of the Jews. And 500 years after Daniel had died, 500 years later, wise men showed up in Jerusalem looking for the Messiah, looking for the King of the Jews. That's who those wise guys were. The wise guys, like wise men. God wants to use you and me. He wants to use you and me for his honor and glory. You know, we can't do everything. That's what the balance. We can't do everything. But God has placed us here to do something. He wants to use you to do something. I don't know what that is, but it's not to do nothing. God's in control. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. No, God is in control. He certainly was in control of Daniel. He was in control of the Israelites, even though they were in captivity for 70 years. Prophetically, they would come out in 70 years, which they did. You get the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. They come back and rebuild the temple. Daniel, by then, was so old, he didn't do that. He stayed there. But God used him to penetrate that culture where they understood about a coming Messiah. God wants to use you and me. Now, I've retired. I was joking with the choir. I've become pretty gifted at being lazy, man. I like this retirement stuff. I don't do anything. But I'm still doing things like sharing here today, and I'm teaching. I'm doing a lot of things. In fact, when I leave here, I'm going back to Wayside Baptist Church. So they're going to vote on me being a deacon today, which is kind of weird. If you know me, I was the pastor there for 10 years. Then I've been the executive director for the Miami Baptist Association for 16 years. Now I'm going back to being a deacon. That may be a better job than what I've had before. It's just you don't get paid anything. But anyway, God wants to use you. So it's not that we don't do anything, and it's not like we have to do everything. The balance is God wants to use you. Just be yourself. But purpose in your life, purpose in your heart, that you're going to follow the Lord no matter where he leads, no matter what obstacles come up, I am going to trust him and see where he leads you. He's led me many miles and many strange stories, but I can really say that God has blessed me, but he's also used me. So my challenge to you today is, what is God calling you to do? Maybe to stand up at work. Maybe there's some people working. You don't want to be obnoxious. You don't want necessarily be rude, but you want to just stand your ground. Trust the Lord. The Bible is the word of God. Let people know. They want to see a real Christian. You know, the only Christians they may see is what's on TV. And you know what kind of, how bad those are. You know, just because a celebrity gets saved doesn't mean they're an expert. A celebrity or a movie star, a rock star, a sports athletic person. They get under the cameras, and people want to know. They think they are more wise. You may be the wisest person in your circle of people. I've shared my story about becoming the first person in my family to be saved, and I've seen everyone in my family come to know the Lord. Was I that good? Was I that evangelical? Was I, you know, no, I was just there. I just saw it happen. But God used me in a sense of praying for my family and seeing what would happen. The balance is the sovereignty of God is that he is in control. And we're going to work hard. We're going to try our best. But it makes us relax because he's in control. It's not up to me. I'm just going to do what I can do, but I'm going to trust that he's going to do something even more than what I do. Does that make sense? That's my challenge to us today. The balanced life. Trust God and purpose in your heart what he wants you to do. Dear Lord, we pray that you would have freedom to speak to us, to guide us, to be the people you want us to be. Lord, if there's something that we should do or say, maybe something that we should not do, something we should not say, Lord, that you would lay that on our hearts. Lord, only we can answer that. It's not, Lord, each person is different. But under you, under your lordship, we want to follow you and be a lighthouse for others to follow. Help us to be those people that give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we give you a brief invitation before we have the Lord's Supper.